Well, good afternoon. Welcome to the Mike Wilson Show on WWGH. WGH standing for Warren G. Harding. And sitting in with me at the moment is Terry Tackett. We're waiting here to see if we get a call from Mark Holbrook, hopefully soon, to talk to us about some things about the businesses opening up in the area, what to expect, that sort of thing. So let's see if Mark calls in.
I think this COVID-19's got kind of everyone's schedule all.
Oh, it does. It does. And you know what? I've been fortunate enough to have a job where I go to work every day.
Yeah.
I'm very thankful for that. There are people that have lost their jobs.
I was going to say, but your job, they've kind of probably had to do some restructuring and stuff, I'm sure. So I don't know if people know what you do, you know. I mean, you might kind of
enlighten somebody.
Yeah. But I mean, I've seen you around town, you know. I'm sure this whole thing is kind of thrown a curveball to you, you know, as opposed to the way you used to do the job, as opposed to the way you do the job now.
Well, it has, and a lot of you know that my real job, this is my fun job, my real job is working at Marka Industries, and right now most of the clients are not there. They're staying at home, which is a good place for most folks to be right now. We have jobs that we do for different industries, and the employees are doing those jobs that the clients would usually do. And one of those is shredding paper. Right now we're open to do, if you want to bring shredding in to us from 10 a.m. till 2 p.m., it's 15 cents a pound. So
they just drop it off right there.
They can. Okay. Now there's a little garage looking building off to the north. Let me see, north be the east of that the big building.
Okay.
That has a garage door on the front. I think it says something about Marka document destruction on a sign on the front. So you could stop and do that, or you can call Marka. You can call Marka and talk to Tom Lowry, who is in charge of the shredding, and we do also I drive the mobile truck,
sure, yeah.
And we're still doing some of that, and keeping quite busy.
Now, what's that price wise, Mike? I mean, is
okay,
that...
that's why you need to call, because I do not have the prices in front of me.
So. I didn't know. But on that, have you seen an increase in that?
No. That's stayed
the
same.
That's what I was wondering. Okay.
That stayed the same.
Because I figured now with a lot more at home, you know, and stuff, a lot more of these businesses may want you. It'd be easier. I can't say that word. It would be more accessible. Say that five times. It would be more accessible for you guys to go there with nobody there and shred their forms and stuff for them.
But what we're finding is a lot of the businesses don't want us to come in their building right now.
Ah.
So it's
the opposite. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Now the thing we are finding, now we have started accepting paper there at Marka.
You guys never did that before?
Well, we always had, but we had shut down.
Oh.
But now
you guys are now just now reopening.
Okay, we're just now reopening.
I'm sorry, I'm catching up
to that.
Okay.
Yeah. Catch up there. Terry. We're finding that people, of course, being confined to their homes, have been cleaning out their files, been cleaning out their desks, and
a lot of home offices now.
Yes, exactly. Now they're bringing all that paper in, and some local car dealers, without giving names, have been bringing their stuff or having us pick it up. But go ahead.
Also, just going to say, from an economic standpoint, that's probably the best thing to do is have you guys do it, because be professionally done.
Well, it's going to be professionally done either way, because we have a shredder right there at
Marka.
Well,
that's what I'm saying, yeah. I mean,
it's less expensive that way if you bring it in.
Either bring it to you or have you guys come there, because either way, it's going to be professionally done, and it doesn't sound like at 15 cents a pound that it's very... very expensive. That's what I'm saying. It can be economic. I don't know how much you guys normally shred. I mean, you know, what an average shredding would cost. But let's say even if it's a couple of $100, I mean, that's still a lot cheaper than...
Yeah. And we also are accepting, once again, we had ceased accepting these things for a while because of COVID, electronics to be recycled.
Okay. That's good.
TVs, now we have to charge $1 per diagonal inch, but that's because the company that we take them to has to charge us. So we have to you know, offset that.
For those costs.
And also, let's see, printers are now $5 a piece. And there's something else we're charging for, but I can't think of what it is right now. This is just off the top of my head.
Sure.
Well,
your capacity really has not really been the price end of it anyway.
Right.
You've been just more or less like the...
I'm the goofer.
The guy that just goes and gets it. That's what I'm saying, you know. So price-wise, really, you wouldn't kind of know, you know. I mean, and they're better off just calling somebody anyway, you know, and talking to them.
Well, and the thing with Marka, I mean, there are other companies that do this. You might get it done a little less expensive some of these places. I don't know. I haven't compared prices. I don't know. But if you do it here... You are supporting the lives of some folks that could use that. People with developmental disabilities.
Absolutely. Well, we're always thinking local anyway, so let's just, you know.
Well, and these folks, of course, it's a job for them. They work on this. They're proud of their work. I love working with these folks.
Yes.
A lot of them have become my friends on Facebook, and some of them have my phone number, so I can't think of a... I think I'm in the right place right now.
Good for you.
But we also do other jobs. I had to work on one today, a pharmaceutical company. We're getting bins that they ship pharmaceuticals in and cleaning them for Ohio, Indiana, Michigan, New York, and I think there's another state as well. And that's quite a job.
And they're going to reuse these bins.
Exactly. Okay. They go through.
You're just preparing them to reuse.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
But the thing is, our clients would usually be the ones doing this, but now the employees. And I'm thankful that they worked it out so we could do that.
That's great. Yeah. That's
so great. We could
keep
continue to get a
working.
Paycheck.
Yeah. Keep you guys.
So it's a good thing.
Yeah.
Also, the home providers aren't used to having people home all day, so they didn't have enough staff to staff the homes. So we've been taking turns going out some of the homes and working in the homes with some of these folks as well. So it's been quite an experience. I miss our folks. I hope they get to come back soon. I really do.
Is there a target there? Do you know? I mean,
right now I don't know. The governor has not really given us any.
They're just kind of erring on the
definite.
Side of caution right now.
Right.
Yeah.
Right,
which is probably the best thing to.
We were shut down the end of March, I think.
Oh, so about 7 or 8 weeks.
Yeah. So, I still have contact with a lot of these people, and we have 4 individuals, clients, if you will, that are working and doing some of the things.
Okay.
And we're looking at bringing some more back soon.
Good.
I hope.
Good. That's always a great thing when people go back to work. You know, I mean, that's good. Yeah. Now, I was going to say, though, Mike, now from these people that came back, have you had a chance to, like, what's their reaction to this? I mean, because, of course, they're used to a structure. You know, they're used to coming to work every day, and now all of a sudden you disrupt their lives for 8-9 weeks, and now it kind of gets them off their schedule, you know, or whatever.
Well, and all these folks are doing jobs where they get paid.
Right.
Where a lot of our individuals aren't. Doing any work right now to get paid.
Right. It's kind of a dramatic, you know, change for them. I'm just trying to think of a better word, but I mean, you know, when like I say, they're used to this particular schedule, and now all of a sudden you got to shut down, and, you know, it kind of changes their whole routine, and, you know.
And I have some of the folks pretty regularly sending me a text or on Facebook saying, when are we going to come back to work?
Yeah, right.
We don't know.
Yeah.
We love you, we miss
right,
you, but we
right.
can't tell you.
Well, that's the thing, you know, I mean, I hope from their state, you know, and I don't know. I mean, obviously, I don't think they're blaming you guys, but you know what I'm saying? I mean,
no, they're not.
You know, it's like, you know, you just wish you had an answer for, you know, or whatever, you know, but...
Yeah, believe me, I that's part of the reason I'm tired today is from doing that
right,
tub job.
Right,
so we need these folks to come back. That's all there is to
ASAP,
it.
ASAP, yeah.
And we also have a, just as this COVID stuff come up, we got a new CEO. And she's been doing a super job with this. But she was thrown into the fire right off the bat. And our individuals haven't had a chance to meet her because they've been off, since she started working. But Michelle Horsley is doing a super job out there.
Great. Good for her.
Michelle, I don't know if you're listening. I think you live over in Richland County. So, but hopefully we'll have her on here soon to talk about.
Invite her on, sure.
Right.
Sure,
there's so much she can talk about.
Always fascinated with the programs and stuff that they have. You know, I mean, it's usually anyone that comes on from there, they're like, they have tons of information.
Oh, sure,
you know?
Sure.
I mean, that's why I love having those people on, because you never hear the same bit of information twice. Yeah, I guess I said that right.
You did. You did. It made sense.
Right. You never hear this. Right. The same piece of info. You know.
Right.
Like everyone that comes on always has new information about what they're. You know. That's why I love when those people come on. You know, they're very informative. It's usually 100% of the time it's a great show, because, like I say, just because it's always something new. You know, going on.
Right.
You know. And
well, and while we're on the subject of market, let's talk about a typical day when everybody is there.
Yeah.
You know, they come in usually on buses, or family or friends bring them in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be another thing, is the busing and how they're going to have to set to maintain 6 feet.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be quite an issue there. I'm sure they're working it out.
Would that be like every other seat? Would that be about 6 feet?
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, maybe.
That's, you know.
But boy, I mean, like you say, especially if you have a good friend, now all of a sudden you got to, you know, man.
Right, you can't set with your friends.
Oh,
you got to, you got to yell across
the
other
seat. Oh, my. And I know, you know, usually from driving out there, I'm sure that when they get, they're usually in a great mood anyway, you know. And I just wonder, like you say, once again, now you got to explain to them why they can't set with their friend, you know. And,
Yeah, it's, and I love these people, I really do, but. Some of the things we do out there,
mm-hmm.
and I'm involved in a lot of different areas, not just driving the truck.
Right.
I
know you're like the liaison, right? For for the community still, or no? You're not quite doing that anymore?
On another station in town, I'm kind of helping out with a podcast we're doing from there.
Oh, okay. All right.
We won't talk about, we won't name that station, but I sometimes am the face for Marka, because I'm the one who goes out into the businesses and so on, and collects her paper and talks to people and so on. So you might be right on that.
So, I mean, you've kind of established a relationship with, you know, with businesses and things. I mean.
Yeah. But besides shredding paper and mm-hmm. some of those jobs we're doing, we do business also with Todd Co., putting together packages of hinges with the bolts and things like that. You know, I would encourage anybody that's curious, once we get started again and we're through this COVID thing, to schedule an appointment to come out and see what we do. I mean, Marka is amazing what they do in these people's lives. And I'm very thankful to be a part of it.
I know, Mike, from my standpoint, I don't really think they could have found anybody better. Seriously. I mean, you interact and you work so well with these people, you know, and they, I mean, you just said it yourself. These people love you, you know, I mean,
well,
you know, I mean, with the amount of friends that you have on Facebook from out there, you know, and the ones that you said, like you said, that you've given your, you know, have your phone number and things. I mean, you guys are all interact very well together, you know. And,
okay. Mark Holbrook just sent me a text. This is terrible, but I can't remember our phone. What is the number here?
740-383-9944.
Okay.
Well, stamp that on your forehead,
Mark. I should know that, you know, but I don't do many call-ins here.
Yeah. Well, yeah, this part of it's fairly new to you. Usually you're used to a live guest, you know. Or
right. Ad-libbing is not necessarily my thing.
So we'll give you a pass for it.
Okay, let me, I'm texting
him. So you're getting him all
here.
The information. And
I am giving him the phone number so he can call in, and you'll be off the hook, sir. 383-9944. I listen to this station enough, I should know that.
And then as far as that goes, Mike, his agenda is what? He's just going to let us know, with businesses reopening, what we need to do? Like, what are?
Well, that's what I'm thinking. We'll see what direction. Sometimes I'll have a certain direction. Mark Holbrook will take a little
bit
different
direction. Right, but I think... I think that would be the curious, I mean, to see how we have to approach things differently. Like, obviously with haircuts.
Let me answer the phone here.
Like that.
I am sure it's Mark. Hello, Mark Holbrook. Hi there. That's okay. Hey, give me just a moment here, and we'll get you on the air. Okay. Did I get it pushed? Okay. Learning the mechanics here as we go. And then we pot up the phone here.
And Mark
should be on the line.
You should be on the air.
I'm right here, Mike.
Okay. Hey, good to hear from you. I should have gotten a hold of you a little bit sooner to remind you, but it works out. Terry Tackett and I were talking about a few things here, so.
Not your fault at all, Mike. Actually, I got distracted trying to chase a bird out of my garage.
A bird in your garage? That's worth two in the bush, isn't it?
Oh, certainly.
Hey, I think what we're going to talk about is with the businesses opening up slowly, what we can expect as we go into these businesses, what we'll see, what's expected of us as customers. Is that what we're talking about today?
Yeah, we'll talk about that, and we'll talk about the future of tourism in Marion County, what we know so far for this summer. There's still a lot of unknowns, but hopefully those will be cleared up in the next week or so.
Yes.
But right now, for anyone who's planning on going out and about, and of course, we've been doing a fantastic job in Marion, all throughout the county, supporting our local restaurants with their carryout offerings. And so a big thank you to everybody for that, because you're helping to make sure that these local restaurants are going to be here in the future. And all of our small businesses, our locally owned businesses, are so vital to our community. Yes, it's not the manufacturers who we love are big businesses. Don't get me wrong. We need them.
Oh, yes, we do.
As part of our economy. But what makes a community are the local shops and restaurants and other places like that. So it's very important that we invest in them normally, but even more so now to make sure that they can survive all this and be here for the coming years. So a big thank you to everyone for that. Of course, our retail shops have been closed until recently, and they are now open again and following a lot of the guidelines that the Ohio Department of Health have issued as far as all employees are wearing masks. Disinfecting and cleaning is happening on a regular basis, and of course, reduced numbers inside the shops. And we're seeing that everywhere at restaurants. Recently opened up last Friday, the 15th, they opened up for outdoor dining. They opened up this Thursday, the 21st, for indoor dining. And again, you're going to see fewer people inside than what you're used to. And that's going to be with us for a little while. But we all do a good job. We're hopefully, we'll keep pushing those numbers down of coronavirus cases and get past this as soon as possible. So what you'll expect to see is a mask on pretty much every worker that you're going to encounter in their place of business. Nothing to be afraid of. Now, to be clear, the state did not say that customers have to wear the mask either, but businesses are allowed to require it. So you may come into some businesses where they have a sign saying that masks are required, and some there that it's optional. So just pay attention to those sorts of things. And, I think the key for all of us, keep a level head and let's just support each other and get through this as fast as we can. Now, on to some of the other things that we think of as a part of our tourism industry. Our golf courses have been open for a while. They were open as early as late March, early April, but their clubhouses were closed and you had to walk the course. And that changed a few weeks ago to golf carts are now being used, but it's only one person per golf cart. This will limit the amount of people that can play on a course. The clubhouses are still closed and not offering food and beverage service. So keep that in mind, and it is recommended. I know at King's Mill, it's absolutely essential. You must have a pre-booked tee time. Green Acres, not so much so. So keep those kinds of things in mind. If you're going out to do anything, especially with a local business, just check with them first to see, what they're dealing with. And sometimes it's not so much that they're just the following of the guidelines, but they may have some unique things about their own business that they have to do to stay in business. So just check so you're not surprised, and be patient with everybody because they're doing the best they can.
Oh,
now,
yes.
On to our attractions. Attractions are the places that bring people to town, and those are obviously our historical-related attractions like the Harding Home and the Heritage Hall, the home of the Marion County Historical Society, and the Wyandotte Popcorn Museum, the Exploratorium, the New Children's Museum, the Huber Machinery Museum, and, of course, Union Station. We are awaiting word on when those will be opening and how that's going to progress and what the parameters will be. I can tell you that there was a working group appointed by the governor made up of tourism folks, Visitors Bureau directors, and some others that have turned in their recommendations, and so we're just waiting to hear about implementation. So expect to hopefully hear that this week during one of the governor's press conferences, telling us when museums and other attractions. Oh, I almost forgot, and I don't want to slight anybody, the Marion Palace Theater.
Yes.
It's obviously historical in nature, but it's also a major tourism attraction for us as well. Mm-hmm. So we'll hopefully hear this week what's going to go on with those, and of course, we're anxious to get those open. As always, of course, we're all anxious about the new Harding Presidential Center, the museum.
Mm-hmm.
As the last I've heard, it's still on track for a September 5th opening. And so that's very exciting as well. So that's where we're at right now with everything. We do our outside places like Marion Tallgrass Trail and some of our parks have been open for enjoyment, obviously social distancing observed. And they've been there all along. So we're looking forward to that. Another big part of the tourism industry in Marion County are our events. And we, I guess, are fortunate in a way in that we really don't have events early in the summer or even late spring. We don't really start to kick it into gear until the first week of July with the county fair, which, of course, has been canceled for this year. And there are other events on into the summer, especially August and September, that are still waiting for developments before they decide. And so we'll try to share that as much as we can on our social media when those decisions are made. And we'll just see what comes along. So, Mike, what have you been hearing out and about in the community as far as people getting out and wanting to do things?
Well, I'm hearing complaints about having to wear a mask. I think it's just I wear one when I go into the stores and so on, simply out of, you know, concern for others. I don't think it's a terrible thing. People are ready for the restaurants to be open, obviously. Hong Kong Buffet is, well, anyhow, I miss it. people are excited about the outside dining being open, and they're looking forward. I can't imagine going to a restaurant the day that all the restaurants start opening up again. But that's going to look completely different, isn't it, Mark?
It certainly is, with the distancing that's required. As a rule, generally, the restaurants will be only seating half of their normal capacity so that they can create the space between tables as required. I'm not sure what all of our restaurants are doing as far as barriers go. I mean, I know they've all been putting up the plexiglass at the cash registers and other various things. But I did see a photograph of a restaurant somewhere else in the country where they hung clear shower curtains between the tables.
Yes, I heard that, yes.
To meet the requirements. So you may see some things like that. Again, just be patient. And the most important thing is to go there, have a good time, and support our local businesses. And,
well, Mark, what about buffets?
This will all be over. Pardon?
What about buffets? What are buffets going to look like? I'm sure that has to be, so you're not handling a common spoon to serve things and so on. That's going to have to change.
Yes, and I've heard that question a lot. And at this point, buffets are not going to be part of the in-house dining, is my understanding.
Oh, okay.
Because of that, you cannot. Maintaining social distancing and obviously cross-contamination with everybody handling the same utensils.
Right.
So we'll just wait for further guidance on that. I think the thing to remember, and I was saying this to my wife a couple of months ago when this all started and the initial stay-at-home order happened, perspective can sometimes be helpful. And you know me, Mike, I'm a history guy at heart.
I know you are.
And I got to thinking about, what people were dealing with 100 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we've heard a lot about the Spanish flu, but, 100 years or so ago, high school seniors were going off to war.
Right.
And fathers were going off to war, and husbands were going off to war. And then, of course, the Spanish flu thereafter, and as hard as this has been on some people, and it certainly has, when you think about what has happened to generations in the past and the things they've went through, this is difficult, but people have gotten through harder stuff, so we can get through this.
Oh, we will. And it was interesting. I had Fred Malone on 2 or 3 weeks ago to talk about the 1918 flu epidemic, and there were some similarities between what's going on now and what was going on then. But, of course, we've made great medical advances since then, which is helpful.
Right.
I think that we recognize germs more than we did at that point.
Certainly.
So.
Yeah, we understand how things spread and so on and so forth. And we've got that advantage right now. And it certainly has made a difference, regardless of whether or not you think health departments and governments have overreacted or not done enough or wherever you fall on that spectrum. We do know that if nothing had been done, you could add one or two zeros behind numbers. Things could have been very, very bad. So we'll be thankful that that was not the case, and then hopeful that this passes as soon as possible. And again, we can't predict the future. All we can do is the best we can day to day. And so I've been seeing a lot of that in Marion. Folks are keeping their distance, but they're pleasant and they're mostly patient. They're making that special effort to support each other, to support the local businesses. And so, if there's anything to learn out of all of this, it's probably that, that we're more valuable and important to each other than we normally take the time to realize.
I agree with that 100%. I've seen, I hear of cases of people not being patient, but for the most part, I've seen so much kindness and so much just compassion for other folks through this, and people helping other. Look at the mask, people making masks for other people, so many things like that are coming out. There's going to be good to come out of this.
Sure. And there always is. There's always an upside, as we look back and challenging times, whether it's a war or a pandemic or a Great Depression, there are good things because out of necessity and out of people's innovation, creativity, and determination, we do accomplish some amazing things during difficult times. And I think the amazing things that we will accomplish in Marion will be that greater recognition and understanding of how much we need each other and what a great place this is. And as I've been telling people, and I did last Thursday in our Facebook Live event, where I announced the winners of our grants and awards, which I can mention here in a minute.
Oh, great.
That, out of this, we will come out stronger, and we will realize what a special place this is and a place that we should invite people to come and visit.
I agree.
Which is, 80% of all travel is influenced by word of mouth. So that means that 80% of the people who visit Marion, somebody, whether it's from Marion or from somewhere else, has said, yeah, you ought to go there, or there's this great restaurant, or there's this wonderful theater, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so for us as a community, then we have to realize that we control our own fate when it comes to how many people come and visit Marion. The outside influences of things like a pandemic or other things certainly impact it, but we control how many people come by being positive about our community and sharing all that's great and inviting people to come. People won't come to your house if you don't invite them, and so they won't come to Marion unless we invite them. We do all we can at the Visitors Bureau, of course. We do all the marketing and everything else, but there's nothing more powerful than a personal invitation.
Oh, that's true in so many things. Terry Tackett and I were talking a little bit ago. He's going to be traveling out of the country. I'm not sure exactly where he's going in September. Do you think things will be so that he can make that trip, or do you know much about that situation?
Yeah, as far as international travel goes, yes, there is a desire for people to travel. And every country is different as far as allowing folks to come in from the outside. And everybody will be different on when they start to relax those rules. By September, I really couldn't say. And it depends on where it is you're going.
Well, it's day by day right now on all this, really.
Yeah, it is. And so we'll just wait and see. I can tell you that we are seeing around the country, nationwide, an increase in booking travel within the United States. But we're talking August and beyond. And we started seeing that actually in the latter half of April as it became apparent that we were doing a pretty good job with this thing, flattening the curve and everything. People started feeling a little more comfortable about the future, and we started booking trips. Now, the trips were close-in trips more so, and that's what we'll see as travel comes back. People will start out traveling 1 to 2 hours from home, maybe for just for the day or maybe for a weekend. And as time goes on, then the trips will get longer and longer on average. When it'll hit internationally is just hard to say.
Yeah, like Saturday, I made a trip up to Lake Erie to Marblehead Lighthouse. And I think everybody and his brother had decided to come out.
Yeah, we are going to see, and I would caution everybody, yes, we're pent up to get out and do things, but understand that so is everybody else. So I know I, for one, my wife asked me if I was going to, you know, try to get a haircut scheduled right away. I think it was last Friday they opened up, and I said, no, I'm going to wait a week or two until things kind of calm down because everybody's going to be trying to do it. And it'll be the same thing with getting out and doing things. And we're seeing in public parks and other various places, folks have been really visiting them heavily and probably some that never have before. And that's great that they're experiencing new things, but because there is anywhere else to go. And that, as that changes, as the restaurants open up and the retailers are opening up and eventually our tourism attractions, then things will sort of settle into its normal flow of people. So,
right. It's going to take some time to get things open back up and get that flow going. Terry and I were talking just a little bit ago. He did schedule an appointment with his barber or haircutter, whoever it is, and it was going to be a 3.5 hour wait. So right now, these things are going to take some time.
Yep. Mine is by appointment only.
Right.
And I had to wait until the 28th of May.
Wow.
So about a week and a half, which is I expected.
Right.
But, you know, I've dealt with it this long and we'll deal with it a little longer.
Throwback to the 70s.
Yeah, exactly. I'm starting to look like my high school senior picture.
Well,
anyway,
you...
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say.
I wanted to mention, while we still had time, we did recently. Normally, we have our annual tourism breakfast where we announce the winners of our awards and our grant recipients. We weren't able to do that this year, of course, so we did it via Facebook Live event last Thursday, the 14th. And our customer service star award is awarded to someone who gives exemplary service and is nominated by the community and others. And we decided to do something a little different this year. And quite frankly, the nominations weren't coming in because things were closed. But we wanted to acknowledge some workers in the community who just have been doing an outstanding job this year and have really helped us to have some sense of normalcy. And so we awarded the Customer Service Star Award to all of our local restaurant workers.
Okay.
So they will all be receiving this nice little medallion.
Mm-hmm.
It says Customer Service Star as our appreciation because they have, you know, putting up with all the restrictions for them and wearing the mask and doing everything else and still working and, you know, early on worried about exposure and things like that. So very appreciative of them for that. Now, our Tourism Ambassador Award is sort of like a lifetime achievement award, and it recognizes somebody who's been involved in or connected to the tourism industry for some time and has really contributed a lot to the community and to the development of tourism in Marion County. And this year's award went to Mr. Randy Wendland.
Oh, Randy, I know Wendland, Randy. Yes.
Is a board member at the mm-hmm. Marion County Historic Society. He's written several books. They're actually pictorials, a lot of photographs and postcards, many of them from his collection. And he's also the driving force behind the Marion County Bicentennial celebration. So he was chosen unanimously by our board to receive that award, and I can't think of anybody more deserving. And hopefully we'll be able to get back on track with our bicentennial activities here soon. Congratulations to Randy for that.
Oh, yes.
And then finally, every year the Marion County Convention and Visitors Bureau awards two $500 grants to our local cultural nonprofit attractions. And so those are the ones that are like I say, are nonprofits and are big draws for tourists. Normally, there's a grant application process. We did away with that this year, and we decided that these organizations, all of whom have been closed this entire time, deserved our support. And so instead of two $500 awards that are normally used for marketing and promotions, each of the seven organizations, and that is the Harding Home, Presidential Sites, Marion County Historic Society, Marion Palace Theater, the Exploratorium, the Women's Club Home, Huber Machinery Museum, and Union Station all received $1,000 from our grant fund this year to help them get through these times. No restrictions. They can use it for whatever is best for their organization to get through. So we're very pleased that we're able to do that for them this year.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah. Well, again, we need to make sure all these places are going to be here for us.
Exactly.
They're so vitally important, not only to the tourism economy in Marion, which is a $100 million plus industry for us, but they help to define who we are as a community. And so I wanted to make sure that they had that support from the Convention and Visitors Bureau.
Okay. We're down to about 3 minutes. Would you like to tell us a little bit about what's going on with the Harding home and restoration as well as with the library?
Sure. The Harding home is being restored to the way it was in 1920 when Warren Harding was elected president, and of course, prior to that, conducted much of his election campaign from his front porch. The home had a conglomeration of decor in it from after the time the Hardings lived there up through the 60s or so when the Ohio Historical Society, now History Connection, took it over. And it's been a long time coming, and so it has been totally restored on the inside to the way it was, down to wallpaper, flooring, everything.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you can see the outside work that's being done already through the exterior, and then the porch is almost finished, will be finished this summer, and structurally sound again. the museum behind it, Museum and Presidential Library, slated to be done September 5th, will be a presidential museum and library. And it would be fascinating if you drive by and see the outside of the building. You know that the building is beautiful, very impressive. And the experience on the inside will be even more so. Mm-hmm. So we're all very excited about that. More to come as that develops. And I have not heard of any delays at this point. Things have been going on. They've been able to do, especially the outside work, during all the restrictions. And the inside work is just slowed a little, I guess, because of the restrictions. But you can only have so many workers at a time. But still going on.
Oh, yes. Yep. That's going to be a big draw. Yes. People coming from all over the country, maybe from all over the world, to see that.
Yes. Yes, it will. A lot of people just like to go to presidential sites, so we'll see that. And then just Ohioans being proud and others. So, yes, it will be a huge draw for us. A lot more people in town, which is probably why it's a good thing we also have a new hotel being built. My Place Hotel is being built across from the Kohl's and Hobby Lobby on McMahon Boulevard. That's slated to be opened in September as well. Talk to those folks, and they're excited about coming to the community. It's the very first My Place Hotel in the state of Ohio. It's a somewhat newer chain, and they decided they wanted to make their entry into Ohio here in Marion. So that's
exciting.
Something we can be proud of.
Yes, yeah. It is. Well, Mark Holbrook, we'd like to thank you for spending some time with us today. I hope that bird doesn't return to your garage.
You're listening to WWGH Radio,
Mark,
107.
We're off the air. I will talk to you later. Thank you.
Marion, all right. Ohio. Sorry about that,
the
Mike.
Talking
no problem. Bye.
For Jim Lavelle, the man handcuffed to Lee Harvey Oswald when he was assassinated.
So when you're coming out the door with Lee Harvey Oswald handcuffed,